Yeah.
It's just a short show.
Okay, good morning, everyone. It is fantastic to resume our Wednesday morning cup of coffee, donuts, and a cup of Joe learning together every Wednesday morning following the 7:45 minyan. We spend 10 minutes together trying to inspire the remainder of our week and our davening, Sha'arim B'Tfilah. We are towards the end of Sha'arim B'Tfilah. We've been learning for a long time. If you'd like to hear the earlier classes, they're all on yutorah.org. And we find ourselves in the Pirkei Siyum. If you have a copy and you want to follow along, we're on page Kuf Nun Vav, 156. And here in the concluding chapters, Rav Pinkus has been developing the idea that when an individual is going through a difficult time or a hard time, or when an individual is interacting with and perceiving the unfolding events of the world, they should not only do so through their own distinct eyes and with the implications for themselves, but a person should feel what Rav Pinkus says, kiviyachol, the pain of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the pain of the Almighty Himself. So on page Kuf Nun Vav, Beis. Afa pi sha'adavar l'chora pashen hu, aval einenu roos kama rechukim manu milahargir shul itzda'er b'tzar hashchinu v'tzar anshe Yisrael. Even though this should be a somewhat obvious thing, that we imagine God as our Father in Heaven, God as the King of Kings, when tragedy, when hardship, when suffering takes place, that He too is suffering. And I pause to make the obvious point that we don't believe that God has feelings or emotions. As the Rambam describes this in anthropomorphism, we use human qualities and traits and we transfer onto God so that we can relate and identify better with Him. So whatever it means that for a being, God, who has no feelings or emotions, but just as we see, if a young person is suffering, we know, right, as we're all davening for unfortunately, two young people from our community who are struggling with cancer. They should have a full, complete, speedy, painless refuah shleima. But you daven not only for these two young people, one young boy and one young girl, but you daven for their parents. When a child is diagnosed and is enduring that kind of experience, it is unbearably painful, not only for the subject himself, but for their parent. And so we are to live life with the recognition that Kadosh Baruch Hu himself also, it should be a subject of our prayers. We daven not only on behalf of other people, we daven for Kavod Shemayim. We daven on behalf of the honor and the glory of Hashem. When Chilul Hashem takes place in this world, when a desecration of God's name happens, when catastrophe, when human suffering occurs, and people blame the Almighty, we daven for His honor. We daven for His pain. So says Rav Pinkus, why is that so hard? Einenu rosh is a davar gadol shleimus atzuma, but tzarach lahavin ma'asiba lekoshi gadol zeh. V'yesh zeh kama sibos. Why is it so difficult for us to achieve that level, to accomplish that result? Uleinenu nifar achas me'asibas ha'ikarias lezeh. So he says the following. L'chor ha'kosh lahavin is ha'kadosh baruch hu kiviyachol mitztaer al tzar anshei Yisrael, v'zeh m'nei kusha sheyesh b'libeinu. The reason it's hard for us to identify with the idea that God suffers with us is because of a compelling question which remains on our heart. For us, the idea of pain is the result. Pain is the consequence of something missing. When there's a need, when there's a lacking, when there's a void, when there's suffering, there's pain. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who wills, if His providence determines our reality, then He in fact has autonomy. He chooses to bring that suffering. So should we feel bad for somebody who creates self-inflicted suffering? Titus stood up and he pierced the parochas with his sword and he desecrated and he had tremendous brazenness in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. God could have, with the blink of an eye, erased Titus from the face of the earth. However, and the fact that God chose not to, maybe it means that God is not really suffering as a result. So why should we feel pain He doesn't feel for Himself? If He has the opportunity, if He could elect to change the reality, and He chooses not to, why should we feel His pain? And Bechlal, says Rav Pinkus, it's hard to understand what it means, pain for God. He's infinite. He's omnipotent. He's all knowing. He's mighty God. In Mitzayir Adam La'atzmo Shu Atzmo Kol Yachol V'chi Ayachaser Klum Harikol Mashachas La'Adam Kol Mashakoyv Lo Um Neishet Tzarech Elav Yisparach Avul Yisparach Shabatzimuso Shelo Bershuso Machaselo Umima Akiv Elav. We lack because God only provides. So we turn to God to provide. He designed a world in which we have needs, in which we are dependent, in which we lack. And why did He create the world by design in that way? Because that's what maintains the relationship. When we lack and we turn to Him, we have the relationship. If we were independent, if we had everything we need and we wouldn't need Him, we wouldn't have a relationship. But God has no needs by definition. That's what it means to be the Almighty God. And even if we aren't contemplating or posing these questions explicitly, everything we know and learn about and daven about and defer to God and concede and submit is all about recognizing His omnipotence. So how does that stream? How does that work with the idea that God feels pain? It seems to contradict. So we mistakenly think that to identify with God having pain, or to feel God's pain when there's Chilul Hashem in the world and so on, that's a deficiency in our Amuna. That's a perversion of our understanding of God's omnipotence. And that's why we struggle to do it, says Rav Pinkus. However, to really understand this, we have to clarify a very important principle. Philosophers who are heretics, who deny Torah, there are philosophers who reject the Torah view not because they deny the existence of God. There are philosophies in the world who in fact come to a position of kfira not because they deny God's existence, but because they don't understand it. Meaning, there's a mistaken notion that many have, even in our contemporary world, that if God is in fact so great, if He is in the heavens, if He is omnipotent, if He's timeless, then what could He possibly have to do with me here on earth? If God is so great up there, then He's disconnected and He's distanced from me down here. You can't operate in two realms simultaneously. He can't be in both places. Because we can't fully understand Him, we don't have access to Him, we can't relate to Him because of His greatness. Well, that greatness and that vastness and that dominion and that providence makes Him not down here. So yeah, I believe, many philosophies conclude, I believe in a creator of the universe, I believe in a God who started it all, but that God has nothing to do with the everyday events of my life. That God has nothing to do with the intimate, unfolding, personal story of my life. Because God is too busy, He's up there. He's perfect, He's far away. And that's a mistaken conclusion. And what Rav Pinkus will continue with, we're going to have to say next week, is that the beauty of Judaism, what Judaism introduces to the world, we'll say it next week, but as David HaMelech says, Mik Hashem Elokeinu HaMagbil HaShavas HaMashpili Liros BaShamayim Uvaretz. HaMashpili Liros means He lowers Himself to see BaShamayim Uvaretz. God's omnipotence doesn't limit Him or preclude Him from being down here. God is in fact so great, He can be up there and down here, and as Uncle Moshe says, everywhere simultaneously. And I just want to conclude with an observation from last night. I davened at an earlier minyan this morning, and when the Chazan finished Chazaras HaShatz, very inappropriately, some people called out, Hallel! And other people responded by saying, Oy! We should say the long tachanun. And those reactions, while humorous, grossly inappropriate for davening, but those reactions really summarize probably the division that's taking place across this country this morning after last night's historic election. And I don't want to comment on good or bad. What I want to say is the following. What was missing as observant Jews from our calculus about who to vote for and what will be as a result is any conversation about God. Lev malachim biyad Hashem. In the end of the day, of course we believe in democracy and we advocate and we lobby and we vote and we do our part to secure what we think will be the greatest reaction. But if you're grieving excessively this morning, you're denying God. If you're celebrating excessively this morning, you're denying that God has some master plan. In the end of the day, the result is the result. And we hope and pray it'll be for the best interests of our country and Israel and the world. But we should never make the mistake of knocking God out of the equation. The Ramban says, Lo siskodidu, the prohibition to cut yourself as the response to mourning, says the Ramban, the reason is it's called excessive grieving. A person who grieves excessively doesn't believe that the soul of their loved one is really going to a better place. You don't believe in God. So whether you're grieving excessively this morning, or whether you're celebrating excessively this morning, don't do either. Lev Malachim Biyad Hashem, in the end of the day, Hashem is the one who runs the world, and we pray that the result will be in our favor and for the good of the entire world. We'll see everybody at Mirtz Hashem next week. Please remember, if Shechter's coming to Shabbos, tomorrow night, 9 to 9:30, begins with the Shmooze and many Shirim over the course of Shabbos. Have a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos. Karl Bach Minyan Friday night in honor of Shlomo Zirutzeit. Have a great day, everybody.
Yeah,
yeah. Sunday.
Right. Mr. Shem's
going to
do that, by the way.
Does
that
work?
And
I hope it. I mean,
post. It's supposed to be live.
Yeah, it did. Live. Yeah, 26 people will watch it. Well, people liked it. 220 views. You see?
Expanding.
Did it come out?
Donald Trump.